In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Christos Anisti. Christ is risen. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs bestowing eternal life. This is the fifth Sunday of Pentecost, the fifth Sunday. And on this fifth Sunday, you hear in the Gospel today, our Lord Jesus Christ is making a big claim. First of all, he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. Well, who are you to say that? No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, he is Christ, the Son of the living God. So that's a bold claim that he's making, that he's equaling himself, equating himself to God. That by him we enter the life of the heavenly kingdom. Without him, we gain nothing but corruption and death. So he who lives a life in Christ lives in the way of righteousness. But he who lives with the devil lives in the way of the wicked. And that really should remind you of Psalm 1, which I know that many of you are familiar with. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the way of the pestilent, the seat of the pestilent. Because the Lord knows the way of righteousness. He knows that way. But the ungodly way shall perish. The ungodly way shall perish. So King David really is emphasizing to us what not to do. Where not to go. Who to avoid. The counsel of the ungodly. Who are they? Well, they're probably the unbelievers. They're those that are going to drag you down. They are those that will take you to parties and say, let's have a good time. The counsel of the ungodly. Or the path of sinners. Those who refuse to do the will of God. Those who choose to reject God. Those who choose not to believe that there is a God. And of course, the seed of the pestilent. Those who adopt an attitude that almost blaspheme God. Blaspheme God, and they blame God, and they say, well, if there's so much suffering, then how can there be such a merciful God? And they'll dump everything on him. So we know to avoid these populations. But Christ, according to Origen, he says, Christ being that way leads me to himself. So there are two things here. Christ is the way, but Christ is also the destination. So he is the way, but he's also our final destination. And this is what we spoke about last night in Vespers, if you were here. And in such a way, we don't need to bring with us provisions. We don't need to bring a bag, or a tunic, or a staff, or money, or sandals, or anything at all. Why? Because the way itself satisfies all the needs of our journey. And he who walks in that way is in need of nothing. And that should remind us of another psalm, by the way. Are you familiar with Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not need anything, because he provides everything for me. He who walks in this way that Christ is talking about is dressed in a tunic and prepared for the invitation to the wedding banquet. He's dressed appropriately. And you remember the parable of the king who had a wedding banquet for his son, and towards the end there was one who was not wearing the proper attire and he was sent out. But those of us that are on the way are wearing the proper attire. Origen continues and says, as this way is narrow indeed, so many people cannot bear walking in it, for they love their bodies. Now last night we spoke about how the way can be wide. In other words, it can accommodate all of us, sinner or saint, Jew or Gentile. The way can accommodate us. It's wide. But the way is also narrow, and that if you don't abandon your sins, you're not going to get through. You're not going to be able to squeeze through until you let go of your sinfulness. We pray in the liturgy of St. Basil, towards the end, we say, lead us throughout the way into your kingdom, which is really a beautiful prayer that we should be praying every day. Unfortunately, when we come to pray our private prayers, we don't always pray for what's essential. We'll pray for someone who's sick, which is good. We'll pray for someone who's traveling, which is good. We'll pray for someone who's taking an exam, which is good. We'll pray for someone who's having a baby, which is good. But do we pray for our salvation? Lead us throughout the way into your kingdom. We have to ask for him to lead us because sometimes we go astray. Sometimes we lose our way. Saint Irenaeus writes something really beautiful. He says, whoever dreams that he is capable of entering into the kingdom of heaven without purity of heart, without righteousness of life, without holiness of body, shall die in this delusion and awake to find himself in an eternal disgrace and shame. A delusion. He's calling it an imagination. You're dreaming that you can enter the kingdom of heaven while you're still stuck in all of this bad stuff. So instead of bliss, he calls it disgrace. If you don't have purity of heart and righteousness of life and holiness of the body. We spoke last night about the verse in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah chapter 35. A highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The highway of holiness. And when you think about this road to salvation, the church in her wisdom has given us guideposts to travel through this road. Throughout the Coptic calendar year, it provides this highway of holiness that leads us to the bosom of the Heavenly Father. Which is what? Well, check the life cycle of the church, the ecclesiastical life cycle. Take them in order. You're going to find yourself immersed in the fasts. You're going to find yourself wallowing in the feasts of the church and not leaving it quickly. You're going to see that you are meditating in the specific readings that are presented to us in the lectionary. You are attending liturgical services that direct us towards the heavenly. You are attending unction of the sick and attaining healing of soul and body. You are participating in the blessing of the water, le'en. And you can take that water and bless your home and bless your family and bless your occasions with that. So throughout the whole year, we have guideposts. And for us to be living a life of repentance, which is another one of those guideposts, it doesn't have to just be accomplished at the beginning of the year, for example. Most people like to confess at the beginning of the year for a renewal. But check the calendar. What comes after the Coptic New Year, for example, in September? Well, Advent begins, right? The fast of the Nativity. And this is a great time to prepare ourselves to receive whom? To receive Christ in his incarnation. And in order to prepare ourselves for that, we should be repenting. Well, what comes after that? After the Feast of Nativity? Well, there's Jonah's fast. And then there's Great Lent. And those are great opportunities for us to be practicing the sacrament of confession. And then after that, of course, is the Feast of the Resurrection. Well, what is the resurrection? We are wallowing in a new day, a new life that has dawned on us. And this is another great time to practice the sacrament. And even after that, the Apostles' Fast, when we want to do our own mission of preaching Christianity as they did, we should also start on the road in a clean way by purifying ourselves. And then after that, we hit the Fast of the Virgin Mary. There are so many occasions in the church that remind us and keep us on the way. This ecclesiastical life is our journey to heaven. In the third hour of the Agbeya, we say, when we stand in your holy temple, we are counted as those who are standing in heaven. And so every time we attend and worship in the house of God, we are counted as those who are surrounding the throne of God. When we stand in your holy temple, we are counted as those standing in heaven. Unfortunately, though, from the beginning, man has chosen to listen to the enemy. The enemy who is Satan, right? And to ignore the counsel of God. God who is his creator, God who is his benefactor, God who is the lover of mankind, God who has given us everything for our salvation. Man who was created with intelligence and was given free will, and we abuse it, and we choose to do evil over good. We choose punishment over reward. We choose darkness over light. We choose death over life. So this demonstrates really the power of Satan, that he can get a grip on us if we don't be careful. And he can force us back on that way. He can force us back. We talked last night about how just like a ship, when it comes to dock, there's an anchor that they can throw overboard, and that anchor goes down to the soil and it keeps the boat from moving. And then they tie the rope also. And storm, wind, it doesn't matter. The boat won't move. So we spoke how sins are like that anchor. Those sins can keep us from elevating the spirit, from practicing a spiritual life, from going towards that road, on that road. The sins are going to weigh the spirit down. So we have to be careful about that anchor of sin. St. John says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and man loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So when our Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way, we know which way he's talking about. It's the way to eternal life. And he makes a bold claim by saying, no man can come to the Father except through me. Don't listen to anybody who says to you that there are many roads to salvation. There are many roads to salvation. No, it's very clear from the scripture that you have to believe in Christ, who is the Son of the living God, to be on that road. Believe that he is that way. St. Paul says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He didn't say two or three mediators. He said there's one. And so if we don't enter and abide a life in Christ, then we don't know that man. We don't know that second person of the Holy Trinity. We're not communing in him, and so we can't go down that path. So this is true because he is the second person of the Trinity. He is the one who died for our sins, and he is the one who reconciled us with God the Father. How did he do that? Well, at the Feast of the Incarnation, we are celebrating that God came into the world as a man and robed himself in our humanity. And what did he do with us? He transformed us. He glorified us. He sanctified us so that now we can travel on the road. Before, that road was shut down. It was under construction. But now the road has been paved. It's paved. And now we can clearly pass through. Only those who accept him as Lord and Savior will enjoy the fruit of salvation for free. If you're looking for salvation, it's through our Savior Jesus Christ. And that's the claim that he's making today in the gospel. Every human who hears the story of salvation has to make up his mind. Either he accepts what Christ offers him and follows him, or he rejects Christ and he follows the way of the world, or follows somebody else, follows another teaching, follows another philosophy. May our Lord Jesus Christ keep us on the way to salvation, which is only accomplished through Christ. May he keep us on the journey, practicing the sacraments of the church and following the cycle of the church, which in her wisdom, the church is keeping us on track for those who are in the body of the church. But for those who are far from the church or reject the teachings of the church or choose not to be a part of the church because they don't like Abuna or they don't like the congregation or they don't like the politics that might creep into, well, you know, we're not going to find a perfect church in the world, but the body of Christ is perfect. The body of Christ is perfect, and we ask that we enter into that body of Christ so we can attain salvation, and glory be to God forever.